AM KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM Digital HD3 Seattle. The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during the following program are the responsibility of the hosts of this program, and not this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of our Hanukkah edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And woohoo, could be a great show today to stream. And I'm all energized. How fun. It is time to start our holiday celebrations with the Jingle Cats and Jingle Dogs. And my favorite, my absolute favorite song they do is Hava Nagila. I think it's the best version I've ever heard, and it always gets me going. And the music with the dogs and cats is courtesy of Jingle Cats. And if you're interested in picking up, they've got, like, I think 4 or 5 different CDs. You can go to jinglecats.com, or you can pick up several of them on amazon.com. And thank you to Mike, the creator of the Jingle Cats, for providing us with our musical entertainment. And I just want to say, well, before we get too far along, I should say, across the table from me, busy with his nose and his computer and a bunch of sports charts, would be production engineer Gary Hill is here. Good morning, Gary.
Morning.
A little double task or multitasking.
Yeah, I got a lot going on again today.
Yeah, and is that, are you preparing for your show? Have you got a game going on today?
I have a game later today. Seattle University women taking on Boise State.
Okay.
So, and does that mean doing that later?
Does that mean it's on the air here?
No.
Or does that mean you go and you're calling the game and it's on somewhere else?
That's what that means.
Okay, so you ordinarily do a live version of Sports Tangle, show at 1 p.m.
It won't be live today.
So what, you're just going to repeat last week or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, well, see, I've learned to know how you handle these things. Okay. All right.
I would play a best of, but it would only last 3.5 minutes, and it wouldn't be enough to cover the hour.
Cover the hour.
Right.
Okay.
So I'll just repeat last week instead.
So when you're a little tuned out today, we know that you're just getting busy for the... Now, what's that chart
thing? I never tune out. I can do both things at once.
So what's that chart you're making? Is that going to help you today?
Yeah, it's my who's who chart.
Those are the players?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So what are you writing down, like statistics for them so forth? So
that
you have something to intelligently speak about?
I try and speak intelligently. It doesn't always work out, but...
I guess it depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, let's get our roundtable going in the other room. The lights are on, and Animal World's call screener, Cat Run Guy, Scotty Robertson's here. Morning, Scotty. He's got one thing on his mind. I'm surprised he's not biting into a juicy red apple about now.
I'm surprised I turned on the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
Yeah. The it's already been going on, folks. If you're regular listeners, you know that we're Husky and Cougar rivalry here. Gary handles the Cougar part, and Scotty and I have the Husky part. And we found out that Dr. Bill Burlingame from Coalcedar Veterinary Hospital, or a veterinary clinic in Marysville, is here with us today. And Dr. Bill, you're kind of neutral, huh?
Well, one time I was a Buckeye.
Oh, I know. Is that Ohio?
Ohio State.
Ohio. Yeah. Buckeyes are like chestnuts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess out here I stay neutral.
Okay.
I would just like to see a good game.
Yeah,
good competition.
Well, the Apple Cup yesterday was a good game. I thought it was really a good game.
I didn't get to watch it, but I heard about it.
It's kind of like when it comes to the Apple Cup, it doesn't matter how good either team is. They both seem to rise to the occasion and play really well. And Gary, the Cougars played well yesterday.
That's good. That hasn't happened a lot.
You were fortunately on a plane coming back from wherever Seattle you played, so you didn't get to watch it.
No.
Because it would have been... I mean, there were a couple of times when Scotty and I were thinking, you know... We may not want to play the Husky fight song on Sunday because the Cougars might pull this one out. They actually stayed in the game, and they actually they played well. I mean, you know, it wasn't...
They're making progress.
I have to say that I've not watched any Cougar games during the season because they're not my team. But they actually, didn't they, Scotty? They played well. They looked like a team.
Game.
Yeah,
it was a good game.
And of course, we think it's a good game because we won.
Right.
Now, I don't know if we'd be so gracious about how good a team it was and how great the Cougars played if the outcome had been a little different.
Yeah.
But is this just kind of setting the example that, you know, you can be gracious?
There's always
even
next
in victory.
Is that what this is? Being gracious?
Well, I'm being gracious. Scotty, you know, holding up the headlines on the sports page, and you wanted to tape them to the window today and all that kind of stuff. I don't know that I'd call him gracious, but I'm being gracious. So the Cougars did well.
Oh, I'm bummed that I didn't get to see it. I saw part of it at a bar in the Salt Lake City airport, but saw the second quarter and some of the third, and that was it.
Well, you know, they did some good stuff, and they actually, there were some scary times in the game where it was like, well, they might just pull this out.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they didn't, but.
There's always next year, Gary.
There is always next year.
Yeah. I was a little concerned this week watching, did you see any of the film clips of Pullman and the dump trucks and the big, what do you call those? Things that the scrapers and the haulers and the dumpers
and all
that
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake to clear the field.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, they were taking dump truck loads of snow out of that stadium. And it looked pretty good on Sunday, and at least it wasn't snowing. But
no, that's why they should have just left it.
Well, yeah, it would have been a different football game if they were playing in 2 or 3 feet of snow.
Yes.
You think the Cougs would have done okay then?
Oh, yeah. We play well in snow.
All right. All right. Okay. Well, on we go. Now, did y'all have a nice Thanksgiving? That was last week.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, it was great.
Cool. Good. I just thought I'd change the subject. And
how about yours?
Yeah, we all did good, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we carry on with animal stuff now? You know how to keep cougars out of your front yard, Bill?
I think you're going to tell me.
Put up goalposts. Now we can continue.
I hadn't heard that one in a couple weeks.
Sherry hasn't heard that one for a while. Oh, okay. All right, let's see. We are doing Vet Sunday today. Dr. Bill is in the house. That means we will have open phone lines for your animal medical care questions. We're going to continue our discussion on energy medicine. And we had such a good time with Joe Thompson last month. He's the energy medicine guy that sells the class 4 lasers and the CC loops and stuff.
Yeah, he does rehabilitative medicine products, yeah.
Yeah, so he's
treadmills
gonna,
and things like that.
Yeah, too. He's going to join us in the second hour and be here for the rest of the show. So last time we didn't have a lot of time for your questions and all of that stuff, and we did have inquiries after the show, people that are really interested in this energy medicine and so forth. So he will be with us, and we will be taking your calls. We have an event happening today, a fundraiser for Meow. I'm going to tell you about that in just a moment. Got some follow-up, some animals in the news. About 10 o'clock, we'll run our fall winter tip. And current events happen about 10:50 as usual. And I'll say I've got some precautions and holiday precautions and poisonings, that kind of stuff. And we're going to run by Dr. Bill to make sure that I've got correct information. And then we are going to open the Animal World Prize Closet. Oh, boy, I promised you this. Remember, we had Ann Martin on a few weeks ago and her book, Food Pets Die For. Rude awakening for Scotty. He went home, started reading the labels on his cat's food and said, oh, man, got to make changes. So if you are interested in winning a copy of Ann's book, Food Pets Die For, we are giving away two during the show today. So jot down these phone numbers. I'll tell you when we open the phone lines to give away books. Local number is 425-373-5527. And toll free is 888-298-5569. And, of course, you can always send us an email if you've got a question or comment to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. That's our live email address, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Oh, and I'm just going to give you a little disclaimer here so that you guys don't have to call and yell at Scotty. And that would be we are celebrate the holidays here. I do my best to be respectful and politically correct and all that sort of stuff. But you know, we're an animal show, and that's what we focus on. And, of course, I like to have fun. And the Jingle Cats and Jingle Dogs only do Hanukkah and Christmas. So I don't want you to think that we're ignoring any other holiday celebrations. And, well, I know there's Kwanzaa and there's some other stuff that I don't necessarily understand. But just understand that I totally accept and support whatever it is that you celebrate this time of year. But on Animal World, the Jingle Cats only do Hanukkah and Christmas, so that's what we do. And today we're doing Hanukkah because they do the best Havanagila ever, so we'll play that a lot. And we will have their holiday music for us and basically their Christmas music for the rest of the month. So I apologize if that offends you, but we're having a good time, and I hope you will understand that. Okay, let's see. Happening today, fundraiser for, I would have told you about this before, but I didn't get any notification about it. It is Meow's Holiday Open House, Craft Bazaar, and Bake Sale. It went on yesterday. It's going on today from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Meow Shelter. It's in Kirkland's Houghton Village. That's right across from the PCC store in Kirkland. You can visit with Santa, shop the homemade gift items. There's a raffle and refreshments. Meow Masterpieces. This is cool. Apparently, they're cat cats, the meow cats, are painting these days, and painting pictures, and they will be available to purchase. And they are also accepting donations for their ongoing Animeals pet food drive to benefit Hope Lake in Kirkland. So if you're out today and want to swing by the meow shelter in Houghton Village in Kirkland from 2 to 5 p.m. for their annual open house, craft bazaar, and bake sale. Okay. Oh, I have a little, some follow-up here before we get into the news. You know, I kind of had an awakening, you guys, after, well, I guess I'll talk to Gary and Bill, and Scotty's on the phone already. At any rate, I had kind of an awakening after last week's show, and I don't, you know, remember, Gary, I was telling you about my niece's wedding that happened last weekend, and it was really such a phenomenal wedding. And I was telling you about at the church, they did things a little differently. They didn't use the traditional music. No, you know, here comes the bride and the recessional, and they had recorded music that was actually very high quality. But they walked down the aisle to Annie's song. You can make Kiss the Bride to You Send Me. And they marched out of the church to sign, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Which, you know, was very cool. But what I was telling you last week, what kind of fell out of my mouth was, I'm sort of a traditional girl at heart, and I prefer the traditional wedding music. And, you know, like Here Comes the Bride, Big Fat and Wide. Which is, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I thought, well, that's probably one of the reasons why it's not used anymore. And anyway, the awakening I had was, I think the experience I went through after saying that on the air last week, is like just kind of a drop or an example of what I think in the bigger picture all humanity needs to do, which is be open to looking at our belief systems, our behavior, our cultural rituals and processes that we tend to hold on to at all cost, but they don't serve a higher purpose anymore. And because I kind of, when I really got in my heart of hearts, was kind of like, well, you know, why do I really like the traditional wedding music? Well, that's just because that's the way I was programmed. And that's what I was used to. And it really, you know, so when it didn't happen, it was kind of like, oh, something's wrong. But then when I really thought about it, and after I mouthed off about it on the air last week, I thought, you know, it really was better with the newer music. Everyone enjoyed it. It was a whole different atmosphere in the church, and they picked perfect music for them and for what was going on. It really was wonderful. So that's what brings me to the bigger picture, is that all humanity needs to really look at these customs and rituals, and are they really serving a higher purpose? And I can think of a lot of them that would be really wonderful to 86 at this point. You know, like bullfights, running with the bulls, but whaling, you know, in certain cultures. How about the Japanese saying, oh, we're going to torture these dolphins and wipe them off the planet of the Earth because this is our custom and this is what we do. Not to mention the fact that they're full of mercury now and poisoning the kids and that sort of stuff. There's a lot of stuff we need to be able to let go of in order to serve the higher good and have a better situation. So there you go. That's my soapbox for the day. I've done it. I think the rest of us can do it, too. So there you go. Okay. All right, in the follow-up department here in the news. Oh, well, you remember all that hoopla a few years ago about the puppy mills in our state? You know, the couple charged with animal cruelty they found 400 dogs living in filthy conditions on their property. They entered a plea on Tuesday, basically a plea agreement. Richard and Marjorie Sundberg of Big Lake near Mount Vernon. And they did what's called, I've never heard of this, I don't know if you've an Alford plea for 4 counts each of animal cruelty. And an Alford plea apparently means that defendants acknowledge that they're likely to be found guilty, but they don't acknowledge guilt. It's kind of like, what is up with that? Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to find me guilty, but I'm not guilty. I'm not admitting it, man. Jeez. So Under the terms of the agreement, the Sundbergs will perform community service and pay restitution to law enforcement and animal care agencies. They will also be barred from owning or harboring animals, and their sentencing will be in January. Now, here's the real grabber on this one. This is what really irks me. The couple's daughter, Renee Roski, who Snohomish County sheriffs say was the alleged ringleader of the two-county puppy mill operation, has not been charged. So go figure on that one. Letting her parents take the rap, you know? Okay. Oh. I think we talked about it a little bit, but y'all heard about, you know, the dog that was electrocuted on the sidewalk on Queen Anne on Thanksgiving Day. Did you hear about that, Bill?
No.
I remember reporting on this back in the December 08 storms and wondering about it with Annie Golden, that this contact voltage or stray voltage in streetlights, some if they aren't grounded right, that in freezing weather and cold and ice or snow, it comes up through the metal plates on the ground, and you step on them, you get electrocuted. And this happened to Queen Anne Avenue, Thanksgiving at noon. Lady with her beloved German short-haired pointer. And the dog stepped on the electrical plate next to a lamppost on Queen Anne Ave and was electrocuted on the spot.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear that at all.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Now, and I would imagine you've never, as a veterinarian in our area, this is apparently fairly common, or has happened a lot on the East Coast before. I remember reporting that, but it doesn't happen a lot out here. Have you ever encountered an electrocution with that stray voltage?
I think we just got street lights in Marysville a few years ago.
Okay, so we don't have a problem there. But that was still bothering me.
That's horrible. I just can't believe that.
Yeah, well, apparently they traced it back to the whoever the contractor was that put in that electrical light post didn't ground it properly. So they were then investigating any place else in the city they needed to look at that. I mentioned it last because I remember when I first reported on this phenomenon, I was in Laurelhurst at my dad's place, and there are electrical metal covers in the sidewalk, and Annie Golden would never walk on them. I mean, rain or shine or whatever, she would never walk on them. And I don't know if she knows something that we don't. Now, of course, there wasn't stray voltage in Laurelhurst, but there certainly could be at some point, but she just wouldn't walk on them. Oh, and you said you hear the lion that went to the dentist and all of that at Woodland Park Zoo? Some good pictures. Let's see, Northwest Thursday, Seattle Times. The animal health staff at Woodland Park Zoo were inspecting a one-year-old South African lioness, and she was acquired from the Columbus Zoo. Apparently, they got to knock them out and look at all of that. But you ever looked in a lion's mouth?
No, I like to.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Thanks.
Looks just like another. Looks like a dog's teeth, doesn't it?
Looks like a cat's tooth.
Or a cat's tooth, yeah. I guess that probably makes more sense because it is a cat. Okay, Gary.
That's funny.
Speaking of a cat, that's a little good news. The tiger cub at Point Defiance Zoo has recovered, almost died, but they thought it was going to have brain damage and be blind and all of that, but it apparently has had a full recovery and is back out with its siblings and doing well. One of the sad things, did you hear about the injured whale in Puget Sound that's been around this week?
Yeah.
I don't think that they've determined whether or not it was a sea or sei whale, SEI, which is an endangered species, or a bride's whale, which is a tropical species, but either one would be uncommon in our area. And it looked like it had been seriously injured by boat propellers and so forth. And there was a couple of articles in the paper about it this week. The first one was just talking about the sightings and wanted people to report if they saw it. The article in yesterday's paper was talking about experts considering euthanizing the whale because so many people were concerned about it and that it was suffering. But if you think of that on a bigger picture, I mean, can you imagine how much, Bill, I mean, euthanasia solution would be needed to euthanize a whale?
How are they going to do that?
Well, the experts said that the option was difficult legally, ethically, and logistically. That the whale might survive, and euthanizing it would be difficult and could increase its suffering, and using massive doses of chemicals required for the task could poison wildlife or fish that scavenge the carcass.
I think they found the carcass of that whale yesterday,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It did pass. Now, what I want to tell you guys about, if you hear the ads on the show, and you hear me talk about it from time to time, but that's very gifted Robin Alexis, who is the host of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis that airs here live on noon on Wednesdays. We talk about her website, robinalexis.com, and the Soul Spa. What I want you to know is that if you haven't checked it out, and you can become a member for a month for just a dollar, you might want to do that, because there is becoming a real animal camaraderie is forming on her website. And they actually have now a forum now for the human-animal bond, and there's a lot of communication going on. Well, as soon as this whale was spotted, the Soul Spa got involved immediately, and Robin set up a Reiki portal on her website. Everyone started sending Reiki, and Robin was in direct telepathic communication with the whale. And, you know, these people that panic and say, well, maybe we should euthanize the whale and all of that, you need to know that on an energetic level, which is kind of our theme for today, you can affect a lot by simply, and even if you aren't involved with the Soul Spa, once you see something like this happening with an animal, especially one that it would be very difficult to do anything physically to help, the power of prayer is immense. And if you just pray for special healing on all levels for the highest good for these animals, rather than directing it, because we didn't know if the whale wanted to heal or if the whale wanted to leave that body. We didn't know what the whale's sole purpose was. So if you pray for the highest good, then their higher self will make that choice. Well, the Soul Spa got involved immediately. Robin opened a portal so that everybody could go to that portal and we could all send Reiki. And then Robin and I were in direct communication with the whale, and I have to say it was Friday night into Saturday morning. It was probably about 1:30, 2 a.m. I sat down at the portal on the computer to send Reiki, and I've never felt so much energy come through. And I, at that moment, saw the whale pass and go through a portal. And so then Robin and I were like, on Saturday, we were trying to confirm, because we both felt we were there when the whale passed, but we couldn't verify it. But it did wash up on a beach yesterday. So anyway, I just want to let you know, www.robinalexis.com. Check out the Soul Spa. Check out the forums. And if you want to be involved in a massive effort to help animals when these things happen, that's the place to be. So, there you go. Okay. Oh, I could have put this in the good news, but I elected not to. The international delegates meeting in Paris last week adopted new protections for seven species of sharks, but rejected ones for bluefin tuna. This would be another area that would fall into the we need to look at our customs and be willing to let go, because everybody, of course, wants shark fin soup. Well, do we really need shark fin soup anymore? Especially when so many species are in danger of going extinct. And then, listen to this. Even though they have done more protection for the seven species of shark, they failed to protect the bluefin tuna. Again, the Japanese, I think, do the most harvesting of tuna. And, of course, because that's one of the most coveted delicacies when it comes to eating sushi and sashimi and the raw fish is the tuna. Do they want to cut back on or protect the tuna? No. Like, they're just going to, and in fact, this article that I'm holding here says that if we don't do something, they're just not going to be any more tuna left pretty quick. But anyway, so some of the sharks get protected. Meanwhile, this is why I didn't put it in good news. Meanwhile, a U.S. proposal to prohibit the removal of shark fins at sea failed after Japan objected. Because, you know, that's what they do. They capture these sharks. And I tell you, I can't even, this is so disturbing to me. I can't even allow myself to go into the energy of it on the air here because I will just lose it. It is that offensive to me that they capture these sharks while they're alive, they cut their fins off, and they throw them back in the ocean with no fins. How could anyone possibly object to stopping that procedure? It's like, oh. Okay, here we go. And, oh, at this point I'm going to tell you I almost brought the book in with me because I was flashing on it so heavily last night. It was also mentioned on the title was mentioned on the Soul Spa. One of my favorite books of all times is called Behaving as If the God in All Life Mattered. And it really is a phenomenal book that helps you understand that there's an aspect of God in everything living. And when is the day going to come that we recognize that and honor the God in everything? It's a great book. And so it's why would we do these things? Now, here's another article here. Rattlesnake skins slither onto the market. Gosh, I mean, who knew? Idahoans may legally sell up to 6 rattlesnake skins a year, and the state is studying whether to allow hunters to salvage road-killed animals. Now, the new rattlesnake rules took effect last year and are to be reviewed within the next legislative session. But it says Idahoans with hunting licenses are allowed to have up to 4 native amphibians, including rattlesnakes and frogs, that they take alive from the wild and hold in captivity. And my question is, why? Why, you know, why can't we just let these creatures live and where they are supposed to be? Now, the other part of this article, though, I think is probably a good thing, and that's that, did you know that road-killed wildlife is considered the property of the state and is illegal to take? Did you just driving in this morning, there was a deer next to Old Owen Road had been killed during the night by a car. But I didn't know that. Did you know it was illegal? Well, apparently it is, and now they are considering allowing, you know, hunters or whatever to harvest wildlife that has been road-killed, which is kind of like, well, once they're gone, the soul has left the body, and I know the animals would be happy to donate their body for good use, and it does make sense, I think, for the bodies to be able to be used rather than to just rot on the side of the road. Now here's another one. Anybody see this? Leashed anteaters draw curious looks on Oregon trails.
I could see how that would draw a curious look.
Yeah. Hikers do a double take when they meet Amelia Goodwin on the trails. This is out of Oregon, with her 2 unusual charges. Pets Pua and Stewie are Tamandua anteaters, native South Americans, rarely seen in Oregon. Well, this woman, and it sounds like I'm not criticizing her in particular, because it sounds like she's being very responsible with these 2 anteaters and caring for them as well as one could care for African or South American anteaters in Oregon. She became interested in the little anteaters after seeing one on Animal Planet. She did some research online and started her own chat group about anteaters, sloths, and armadillos. She got 1 anteater in July 06 and another one in the following year. And anteaters are not regulated in Oregon and are therefore illegal to possess. I mean, why do we have to pass laws to make these things illegal? I mean, you know... I have to say, I guess I don't.
Enough said.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting case. The dog runs away. This is out of Spokane. Dog, little black Pomeranian who's been a beloved member of the family for 6 years, somehow gets out of the yard. They put up posters and signs and all that kind of stuff, but don't find that the dog is found by somebody not too far away from their home and taken to a rescue. Well, this particular rescue even had the lost dog thing up on their website, but didn't make the connection. And then after the 72 hours, they adopted the dog out to a new home. Well, didn't take very long before the owners of the dog found out where it went and all of that, and the guy who adopted the dog wouldn't give it back. Now, so here it is. What part of step up and do the right thing gets lost here? Now, so then they had to sue, and this has taken 3 years. They finally got their dog back, but they got it back on a technicality because of where the dog was found. The dog was picked up. It was either, if it was in the county, it was legal for this rescue to adopt it out, but if it was in the city, it wasn't, and it was, and it, wherever it was picked up made it not legal for the rescue to have adopted it out, so they got it back on those grounds, not on the grounds that it was their beloved dog to begin with. Give the dog back, for heaven's sake. 3 years it took. All right. Okay, enough of that stuff. How about we do the best good news about animals? Whoa. I apologize for any of you that were resting quietly.
It gets processed. It's okay. It wasn't for you.
No, he blasted me out too, folks, so... But, and we've already got blue sky, so this is good. Oh, all right. Okay, so I made the front page of the Times on Friday. Paul Allen boosts global fight against animal diseases. Did you see that? Gary, you should like this.
I do like this.
A disease on a farm in Africa can ruin a family's livelihood, but it can also travel to Washington State and start an epidemic. And connecting the two, Washington State University is taking its local roots in agriculture and veterinary medicine to a global scale with the largest private donation in its 120-year history, $26
million. That's a lot.
From Paul Allen to Washington State. And what they're doing, the gift announced Thursday will help build the School for Global Animal Health, focusing on the science that looks at new human diseases orienting or originating in animals, such as swine flu, avian flu, Ebola, and West Nile virus. So that would be interesting. There you go. All right. The next good news. These are the bigger out-of-town things here. The Obama administration this week designated more than 187,000 square miles along the north coast of Alaska as critical habitat for the polar bear. Safeguarding under the Endangered Species Act land and waters the U.S. that are vital to the polar bear's survival. The habitat rule comes in response to the ongoing lawsuit by the Center of Biological Diversity and the Natural Resources Defense Council and Greenpeace. They all had to sue the Department of Interior on behalf of the polar bear. But the designation has been made, and the new designation will likely add restrictions to any future offshore drilling for oil and gas. Yay. Okay. What?
I just enjoyed your yay. Yay.
Well, here's another one. Now, remember the story a few weeks ago of the otters that are causing problems at the boating docks, and somebody put out poison and ended up poisoning a boat owner's dog instead of the otters? Well, a great little article here, if you want to pull it up, Seattle Times from Thursday, that this is a great program. Not wanted here, otters find peace in New Mexico. After a nearly nonstop 15-hour ride in an SUV, otters that cause problems in Puget Sound are welcomed in a distant river. They're delivering healthy river otters, 33, from unwanted Puget Sound marinas and docks to a small tributary of the Rio Grande, where they were native and flourished, but were hunted for their pelt, you know, trapped for their pelts and stuff to extinction. But so now they're reintroducing the otters where they're wanted. They're taking our Puget Sound otters, and I've got some pictures here of them, and talk about how they transport them and then how they acclimate them, and they are so cute. But wasn't that great? That's really good. So trapping them here and then sending them to New Mexico where they're wanted. All right, and this one, this is my favorite. This is the winner of the best good news about animals, because, frankly, I don't always support what this group does, but I love this one. The New York Police Department has been commended for a new method to catch trespassers, the small furry ones running loose at the headquarters of the nation's largest department. The strategy? Spring-loaded mousetraps. The department had been using glue traps, where mice get stuck and can live up to 24 hours to get rid of the rodent problem. And then somebody reported to PETA that this was going on. So PETA immediately conveyed their concerns to the police commissioner. The good news is the department responded, and they got rid of all of the glue traps, and they replaced them with, apparently, they were replaced with two types of professional-grade traps that PETA recommended, which are created to kill mites instantly. Now, I'm not a fan of killing anything, but, you know, it is just reasonable. You can't have a rodent infestation. It's not good. So until we have a better way of dealing with that, which there are answers.
They should get police cats.
Well, that's true. Oh, well, that would be great.
There's already police dogs, so...
Hey!
Police cats.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Get them little badges on their collars.
Yeah. Well, in Behaving as If the God and All Like Mattered, the gal that wrote the book actually talks about how she got her cats to take care of the mole problem by explaining to them the consequences. So maybe we could have little police cats. But at any rate, head of the police, the police chief said, well, someone ratted us out, but we made some changes. We got rid of thousands of glue traps. And as a result, PETA has awarded the department and the commissioner the Compassion Award for the decision to stop using glue traps. So in this case, I think that PETA made a real reasonable move here. They aren't condemning the killing of the mice in general. It's just saying do it humanely and do it quickly. Don't let them suffer. Totally agree. So anyway, like that. So there you go. Wraps up the good news. Let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll get started with Vet Sunday. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Okay, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all whole-natural raw food sources. They perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a Missing Link vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like house rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters. There is a bird formula and a horse formula and a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support and a dog and horse formula. So ask for The Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage.
Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including three distinct certification courses in animal massage. Short workshops in animal massage and other related topics are also available.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to nwsam.com for registration details.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. OptiGest is a complete formula of four plant-based enzymes and is the food for the healthy bacteria which supports the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. OptiGest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. OptiGest's natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/OptiGest for more information.
Posadas Safe Haven rescues and rehabilitates cats, dogs, and farm animals that may not have another chance. Money is often the deciding factor between life and death for an animal in need. Wolf, a sweet older dog at a local shelter, was deemed unadoptable and scheduled to be euthanized. Posadas Safe Haven found him just in time. Today, Wolf is healed and waiting to find his forever home. Please consider adopting one of their rescued animals or making a donation. For more information, visit PosadoSafeHaven.org or call 360-793-9393.
Past life specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's created and channeled the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. She invites you to her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get 1 month's trial membership for only $1. Share your comments and experiences on her members-only forum with a very special group of metaphysical people, and she will answer your questions in the form of audio recordings right from her website, robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medium, medical intuitive, and healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. As a member, you can call her for private sessions at a special rate. The phone number is 360-457-2993. Or you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and did you know I'm an animal behavior therapist and trainer as well, and owner of Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling? I'd love to hear from you because I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. And now for the real reason for this ad. Go Huskies!
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Well, we could kind of make it a silent night here for a while. Gosh, you gotta love those jingle cats. Woohoo! Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. It's Vet Sunday. Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilsey to Vet Clinics in the house. And Joe Thompson's going to be joining us shortly, and we're going to be talking more about energy medicine, that sort of thing. Before we get into that kind of stuff, I want to run this stuff by Dr. Bill, make sure this is good information. Do you, Dr. Bill, are you at all familiar with a pet poison helpline?
Sure.
Okay. Is it legitimate?
Sure.
Because it's an 800 number. They have a website, www.petpoisonhelpline.com, or an 800 number that you can call if you have, you know, a pet poisoning of some kind and need help and advice, and costs $35 a call, which that seems kind of reasonable, don't you think? At any rate, they sent out a press release here and to kind of debunk the holiday pet poisoning myths. And so they say that the real holiday dangers are lilies, including tiger lily, Asiatic stargazer day and Easter lilies, make lovely centerpieces, but they also are extremely toxic to cats. They fall into the category of real and acute danger. They say, this is what, I've always heard this, and because of this, and because I have Vegasinian cats, Vegasinian Abyssinians, that like to, you know, eat plants, I don't keep any kind of lilies in the house, because it says as little as one or two petals or leaves, and even the pollen can cause sudden kidney failure. That, so, is that really true, Ben?
I've never heard about the pollen.
Yeah, that's the first I'd heard about that, too.
Most people pluck that off because it really does stain a lot.
Well, it does. Can't know.
You pluck those guys off. But, you know, I would think that a cat, I've never seen a cat that I know of that ate enough to go into renal failure.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
obviously it happens.
Yeah, because I read something, I mean, usually it said even just chewing on a leaf was enough to put cats into... I figured, well, that would be not good for my kitties, so I don't even bring lilies in the house. Now, they say, while not as toxic as lilies, ingestion of Christmas cactus by dogs and cats can cause vomiting and diarrhea, and the spiny and leathery leaves of Christmas or English holly can result in damage to the stomach and intestinal tracts. Well, that would just be because of the spines. And holly berries have mixed toxic properties, but are fairly tolerable in most pets. While death is not likely, it's best to keep your pets away from these holiday plants. Now, so have you ever seen a Christmas cactus poisoning?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Now, this also, I can just say intuitively, I have never felt good about doing this. But it says, filling your house with the smell of nutmeg or pine is inviting. But if you heat scented oils in a simmer pot, be aware because it can cause serious harm to your cat. Liquid potpourris contain chemicals called cationic detergents, which can result in severe chemical burns in the mouth, fever, difficulty breathing, and tremors. Dogs are not as sensitive to the chemicals, but they may still suffer burns, so it's better to be safe than sorry. Scent your home with a non-toxic kennel, a candle, and a pet no-pet zone. So have you ever heard of this?
I'd be interested to see what Sandy thought about some of those oils, you know, the essential oils, which can be toxic. Some of those can be toxic to some cats. So any oil, I mean, cats just don't process things the way we do, so...
Yeah, and I would imagine it might be even more serious for birds in an environment.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Volatile compounds like that, sure.
All right, we know they talk about the most dangerous foods, chocolate and cocoa, sugarless gum and candy containing xylitol. Have you ever had any xylitol poisoning?
No, but I'm familiar with that.
Okay.
Yeah. It fools the body into, you know, thinking that there's glucose coming in and you have insulin metabolism problems.
Yeah, okay. So if your dog eats some gum or candy, sugarless gum, so that's a reason to be concerned. And then, of course, leftover fatty meats and scraps, any of the really rich food that we ordinarily wouldn't eat, not a good idea to give to your animal friends, especially little dogs, because then pancreatitis can
Pancreatitis is what comes to mind. But any gastroenteritis, vomiting, diarrhea from a an unaccustomed heavy fatty meal.
Now they've got a warning about yeast bread dough. And that must be from I would imagine dogs counter serving and stealing a bread that's rising and eating it. And then
what does it do?
Swell up in their body
in
and
there.
What is it? Is that
ugh. Sure, that would be a funny feeling.
Oh yeah,
be like eating that gorilla glue.
Oh.
That does the same thing.
Expands?
Expands in their stomach, right. They swallow that Gorilla Glue down, expands. I've never taken one out, but I've seen pictures of dogs where they took out a mold, an internal mold of the stomach that was solid Gorilla Glue.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, and then they say holiday myths debunked. That myth number one, poinsettias are highly toxic. And they say they're only mildly dangerous to dogs and cats. The relative toxicity has been quite exaggerated. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Mistletoe is toxic. They say like poinsettias, American mistletoe is gets a bad rap. The rumors of its toxicity are largely attributed to its cousin. So apparently the European mistletoe is more toxic, but our American mistletoe isn't. Myth number three, fruitcake is a healthy holiday treat. Whoever said that? Yuck. Do you know anybody that likes fruitcake? Why does anybody even make that stuff?
The ongoing fruitcake.
Yeah, so they say fruitcake, while fruitcake may be a fine food for people, well, I would argue with that. Grapes, raisins, and currants are common ingredients, and they can result in kidney failure in dogs. Now, have you, because they say that some dogs can eat a grape or a raisin and, sure, and have kidney failure. Have you had any experience with that?
It's dose-dependent in general. They got to eat a fair amount of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to let my dog lick the Raisin Bran bowl for years.
Yeah?
And intentionally left him a couple little raisins in there.
Well, I can remember my first goal. I remember Drake. I remember used to give him grapes. He really liked grapes. Yeah.
Now that we know, we do need to be careful, but they have to eat so many.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. There's your holiday recommendations and precautions on different things. So it sounds like just be wise. And then one of the last things was that tinsel is a safe decoration. And I think we know anything that's long and stringy can be eaten. And then what is it? It like gets coiled up and...
Well, no, actually in cats in particular, it's what we call linear foreign body.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets stretched out in the small intestine, and the small intestine sort of starts contracting up on it. Mm. And you get a blockage of the gut. That and dental floss will do the same thing.
Really?
That's real bad. So any string, yarn, tinsel, dental floss, anything long and skinny is bad for cats.
Yeah. And I think, and folks, as a behavior therapist, cats are similar to dogs in that they have basic habit patterns. And some dogs and cats are chewers and shredders. Some are swallowers. So you need to know what model you have. And if your animal tends to, you know, chew things up and leave piles, like my little Sophie Sweet Cheeks, you know, Dr. Bill, you know, my little kitten, I swear there's a dog in a cat suit in there because she chews stuff. She likes to chew up newspaper. She doesn't eat it, though. She just shreds it. So I don't have a big, you know, she never swallows anything. She just chews things up. But if she were a chewer and swallower, I'd have to be a lot more careful with her. So know that about your animals. And if you've got one that's a swallower, especially in the cat department, you've got to be real careful about the strings. Rubber bands are also something that's popular with them sometimes, and they'll those can cause problems inside, can't they? Or?
You know, I've never taken a rubber band out of a cat that caused an obstruction. I'm sure other veterinarians have. But I had a cat that just loved rubber bands.
Yeah?
She'd carry them around all the time. It was just kind of an ongoing battle between us. I'd hide them. She'd find them.
But she didn't eat them? She just carried them around?
No, she carried them around.
Oh, they were little babies. Now, any other interesting things you've taken out of our animal friends?
Oh. Well, let's see. Oh, you know, you got your standard rocks.
Yeah.
Earplugs. That's a common one, earplugs. Oh. I took the, out of a cat, I took a telephone cord, one of those coiled telephone cords out of a cat once.
Really?
So that cat was a chewer and a swallower.
Chewer and a swallower, yeah.
No, that's about it. And, you know, pantyhose and all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
Okay. Rocks.
So get to know your animal friends.
Yep.
And that's another way, the rock eaters, because it's kind of like what we respond naturally, we make it worse, because when we get a dog that shows interest in rocks and so forth, which I find as a behavior therapist is often related to mineral deficiencies or something in the diet, and it becomes a pica sort of thing where they eat stuff that isn't food, and so it can be addressed nutritionally. But people tend to, if they've got a dog that goes after rocks, we do the same thing sometimes when we do with dogs that eat their own stool. they go to investigate their poop after they eat it, or they go to sniff at the rocks, and then the human panics. No! Leave it! Get away from that! Don't do it! They run in there to grab the poop or grab the rock, and from the dog's perspective, the dog goes, holy mackerel, that must be the most valuable commodity on the planet. I better work a little harder to get it. And the only way for them to get it and keep it is to swallow it. So our panic will actually push them to swallow things faster. So if you're one of those panic people, you need to learn from Aunt Martha how not to do that. Distract them away rather than grabbing it. Now, we are going to continue more. Last time when you were on, Dr. Bill, we really got into this energy medicine, and we were talking about alternative therapies and so forth, and the lasers and the assisi loops and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to talk more about those things. And of course, we haven't talked about it yet, but I have an assisi loop that I've been using with little Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, because when she came to me as, you know, a kitten that I could hold in my hand, somewhere in the beginning her tail was, what would we say, it was broken? Is that why? Because she has no feeling or control of her tail.
Well, probably a nerve injury more than a
nerve
fracture.
Injury. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And since Bill has encouraged me to not spay.